just ask that you would be with our pastor now, strengthen him. Please just fill him with your spirit and help us to be edified by the preaching. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen.
All right, we're in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Look down at your Bibles at verse number 1. The title of my sermon this morning is Free Course. Free Course. Look down at your Bibles at verse number 1. It says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Now, when we think of something having free course, we can basically compare it to a path that is without obstruction. It doesn't have any hindrances in the way. You know, there's no restraints, no distractions, no hindrances on a channel that will inhibit something's progression, right? And this is basically the gist of what the Apostle Paul is saying. He said, hey, I need you to pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. He wants that the word of God to prosper, that they would be able to see people saved and, you know, change people's lives, that the word of God would be without hindrance, have free course, have free reign, no hindrance, no obstruction, no barricades, no stone walls that would hinder the word of God from accomplishing that which God has called it to do. Now, I want you to notice that he doesn't say this. He doesn't say, I would, you know, that you would pray for me that I would have liberty to preach, okay? You know, pray that I would be able to preach the word of God and you know what, you know, I wouldn't be afraid to preach. But here's the thing. A lot of pastors do that today, actually. And they'll often stop themselves from preaching the word of God hard or preaching the whole counsel of God. And they'll often say this, oh, you know, I didn't feel at liberty to preach that. You know, I felt like the Spirit, you know, wasn't allowing me to do that. No, what it is that you're just not Spirit-filled. That's what it is. You know, because God tells us to preach the word of God. He tells us to preach hard. He tells us to preach the entire counsel of God. He doesn't tell us to, hey, you know what, maybe you want to like cut it down a little bit and relax a little bit, not be as zealous, not be as passionate. No, that has to do with the man who's just not spirit-filled. He's fleshly. He's afraid. He's a coward. He's not bold in the Lord. Okay? You know, the Bible tells us of Paul that he kept back nothing that was profitable unto them, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. He says, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. You know, he's not saying, well, you know, the Spirit told me not to preach this to you. I feel a little tension in this church. Like, you guys don't want to hear the truth, so I'm just going to not talk about the sodomites, not talk about false doctrine, not hit on or step on your toes because I don't feel at liberty to do so. No, where the Spirit of God is, there is also liberty, amen. You know, if a man has the Spirit of God dwelling within him and he is Spirit-filled, he's just going to let it fly no matter what happens. And in fact, the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 26, verse 2, thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house. All the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word. What is he saying? Look, everything that I tell you to preach in that sermon, you better not cut back on anything. If it's offensive, let it fly. If it's edifying to them, let it fly. If I tell you to preach it, preach it. Don't diminish one single word. But you know, I have pastors today that will literally breeze over a word in the Bible because they think it's a cuss word. It's like, well, you know, it says, you know, the A word. But, you know, even though it's in the Bible, we shouldn't say it. That's nonsense, folks. The words of the Lord are pure words, the Bible tells us. And look, if the Bible tells us, talks about hell, it says the word ass, it says the word damn, it says all these words that today people would consider to be offensive, you know, it doesn't matter. The Bible tells us don't diminish a word. We ought not to diminish a word and try to set our standard on the word of God and say, well, I know God wrote it this way, but you know what? I don't think it's right to use that type of language. You're just not spirit-filled. We have the liberty to preach whatever the Bible tells us to preach. And if it's written in the Word of God, we can preach it. If the words are found in the Word of God, we can preach it. Okay? The Bible tells us to preach the Word, to be instant in season, out of season, to rebuke, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. And let me just say this, is the Bible will always be effective, right? It'll always be effective. It'll always accomplish that what God has called it to do. Go to Isaiah 55, if you would. Isaiah chapter 55. The title of the sermon this morning is Free course. You know, we as Christians should desire that the Word of God would have free reign in our lives, right? I hope that you came today to church because you want the Word of God to have free course in your personal life. You know, that the preaching of God's Word would hit your heart, that you would come desiring to change something, amen? That you would be challenged, that you would be convicted, that you would be prompted to just change your ways or to build upon your faith, that the Word of God would do something to you. We shouldn't come to church expecting to be bored. We shouldn't come to church, you know, I can't wait for lunch, and I can't wait till after church, and I got a football game to watch, or I got a baseball game to watch. I want to do other things. No, you know what? The Word of God does not have free course in your life if that's your attitude. Okay? The Word of God, the Bible says, is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit, joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So what is it telling us? The Word of God is not the problem. The Word of God is effective. It can accomplish great things. But here's the thing. The path that it uses to get there can be obstructed by people. It can be obstructed by us. Okay? Look what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse number 8. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth." What is he saying? Well, just as rain comes down, and it doesn't just come down vainly. It has a purpose behind it. It waters the ground. It waters the earth. It produces fruit. It produces buds. It's a seed to the sower and bread to the eater. In like manner, the word of God has purpose behind it. He says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void," he says, "but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." What is God saying? The word of God will accomplish that which God intends for it to do. You know, in a church service, if you leave here and you think to yourself, "Well, I didn't learn anything," well, that's not my fault. Because I guarantee you there's other people in the church that leave and say, "Well, I learned something new." Or, you know what, maybe I didn't learn something new, but I was reminded of something that I already knew, but maybe I have forgotten. Or maybe I was just added, you know, faith, or, you know, I repented of this specific sin, or I was encouraged to continue to go forward and not quit. You know why? Because the word of God never comes back void. It only comes back void to the people who are obstructing the path by which the Word of God should be to your heart. Let the Word of God have free course. It will always prosper in the area that we send it to. But let me say this, is that even though the Word of God is effective, even though it's powerful, even though it can accomplish great things, there are times when outside forces can basically intercept the message of God's Word so that it doesn't reach its final destination. There's times when it's intercepted by something or someone and it doesn't accomplish that which God has called it to do. It's not the Bible's fault. It's not the preacher's fault. It's just that there are outside forces seeking to hinder that message, outside elements that can obscure the path of the Word of God. There can be a point when recipients of God's Word, you know, they just don't receive it. They don't benefit from it. Now, turn with me, if you would, to go to Matthew chapter 13, if you would. Matthew chapter 13. Let me talk about those outside forces this morning. By the way, I'm going to hit on two categories. One is an outside force that will keep the Word of God from having free course. Another one is an inside force that will keep the Word of God from having free course. So let's talk about the outside forces that obstruct the path of receptiveness in an individual. Number one is the most obvious one, the devil, right? The devil is a tool, or is an angel that really will obstruct the path of the Word of God. He's the one that comes and desires for people not to listen to the Word of God. Now, this happens more commonly with unsaved people, okay? The devil will seek to intercept the path of God's Word in order to hinder the free course of the Word. You know, he'll try to inhibit its progression. Let me read to you from 2 Corinthians 4:4. It says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So who is the one responsible for causing people to not be receptive towards the word of God? The devil. He's blinded the minds, the Bible says, right? He's caused them to believe false doctrines, false ideologies, false religions that in turn cause people to be close to the true gospel. You understand? Now look at Matthew 13. By the way, this is important to know because if you're a soul winner in our church, you're going to run into people who are going to frustrate you. You're going to run into people where you're like, why aren't they getting it? Oh, they're just wicked reprobates. Well, not necessarily. Maybe they've just been duped by the devil. Maybe it's Satan just placing a hindrance on the path so that the word of the Lord does not have free course in that person's life. So what are we doing when we go out there and preaching the gospel? We're making the path straight is what we're doing. We're trying to make our gospel presentation as clear as possible. We're trying to be prayed up, spirit-filled, know what the Bible's talking about so that we remove all distractions when we're talking to an unsaved person, right? Why? Because we have someone called Satan who is seeking to obstruct the path so that the Bible, the gospel, does not have free course in that person's life. Look at Matthew 13 and verse number 1. It says, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. So the analogy that's being presented here is a sower is going and he wants to produce fruit. So he takes the seed, he puts it on the ground. It's not that the seed is just, you know, can't produce any trees or any fruit. It's not that the seed is just void. It's just that the fowl, the bird of the air, comes and eats the seed. Removes the seed from the ground so it doesn't produce fruit. Skip down to verse 18. Hear ye therefore, verse 18, the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one. Who is the wicked one? Satan. And catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Folks, have you ever been soul winning and you're preaching the word of God to someone? You're giving the gospel, they're in agreement, and then at the end of the conversation, you're like, so you want to get saved? They're like, oh, no, I'm good. I don't really believe that stuff. Like, you know, I got my own religion. Just, what in the world? What happened? I'll tell you what happened. Satan came and removed the seed out of that person's heart. Blinded the minds lest they should believe the glorious gospel. Satan will come and do that in the lives of unsaved individuals all the time. You see, he can't hinder the power of that seed, but what he can do is obstruct the path that it's on so the recipient doesn't understand the gospel. And look, this is why it's important that we preach clearly, right? This is why it's important that we know what we're talking about when we're out there soul winning. We don't want to make the gospel complicated. We want to preach Christ and him crucified, amen? You know, learn the Romans road, memorize the verses, be spirit-filled, and put the cookie on the bottom shelf. Don't try to use all these, you know, extravagant biblical terms when you're out there soul winning just because you want to just look like you're just this professional soul winner. We just want the person to get saved. We want the common people to hear us gladly, right? And so the way we combat this is that we need to make sure that we remove all these distractions. Go to Genesis chapter 15. That's why it's important that when we go out soul winning, we love the people that we're going to, right? Because what happens when you love someone and they're just kind of frustrating you, you're long-suffering towards them, right? When you love an individual and they're just, you know, stubborn, they're not getting it, your love will cause you, your compassion will cause you to be long-suffering and patient towards them, right? So when you're out there preaching the gospel, if you love the people you're talking to, you're not just going to write them off and just be like, oh, this person's an idiot, stupid, they're not getting it, wicked, reprobate. No, what you're going to do is be patient with them. You're going to be long-suffering towards them. And what you're going to do is you're going to remove the birds that are coming to remove the seed out of that person's heart. Look what the Bible says in Genesis 15. Look, good little illustration here. In verse number 9, it says, "And he said unto him, Take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away." So we see here that these birds are seeking to intercept Abraham's worship. They're seeking to intercept, just kind of ruin the sacrifice here. He's trying to serve God, obey the Lord. And does he just say, you know what, trash this whole thing, let's just start over again? No, instead, what does he do? He just drives away the birds. He just removes them. Get out of here. Move. So how can we apply that when it comes to preaching the gospel? You know, when people don't seem to understand what you're saying and they want to cause you to go into a different subject, what do? You shoo that away. Right? Well, I believe in the Virgin Mary. Okay, well, you know, the Bible doesn't really talk about that at all. But let me tell you what the Bible, who the Bible says you have to believe in order to be saved. And it's not the Virgin Mary. Well, what do you think about the earth being flat or something, you know? You believe the earth is flat? Don't get carried away with another conversation. Realign that person's conversation to the matter at hand. Drive away the birds. When the bird and the fowls come to remove the seed of God's word out of the person's heart, don't just throw the towel in and say, just let them eat the seed. Just let them eat that individual. No, have the discernment to say, well, maybe this person has some hindrances, some roadblocks, some stone walls that I need to remove. I need to cast down those imaginations for that person in order to help them to understand. And this is what the Bible says, that these people have to overcome the world, right? The ideologies that they believe. We need to dissolve doubts, folks. And look, it's important that when you go out there, with the attitude that we love people. Don't go preach the gospel because you want to raise your hand for salvations, like, I got this many. Go out there because you actually want to see people saved. You want to actually pull people out of the fire. And if you go out there with that motive, you'll be far more patient with people. Don't be rude with people out there, folks. And look, this is why we have the teams, right? The teams are existing in our church in order to train others how to effectively preach the gospel in such a way that we are able, as soul winners, to remove all the obstruction, drive away the birds, and get people saved. I've been soul winning with people who are just like, good night. Must you be so rude? Right? How many of you have ever been with someone like that? I remember one time going out soul winning, and it's just like this one guy, he went up to the door, he knocked on the door, and look, I knock twice, and if they don't answer, I move on. I've known people that are just like, and I'm like, if they don't come to the door, it's probably because they don't want to come to answer the door. Or maybe they're asleep. He's like, well, I got to wake them up. And I'm like, no, you don't. Just move on. I've seen people where it's just like, oh, they're in there. And they go to the window on the lawn. And they're just like, hello. I see you. And they didn't say that, but they're just like knocking on the window. And it's like, what are you doing? Folks, I knock twice. And if they don't come to the door, I move on. You see, that type of individual doesn't necessarily have genuine love. Oh, no, but they're just fervent because they want to get the person saved. But you know what? Our time is precious, folks. And the time that you spend knocking on someone's window, on someone's lawn, yelling, trying to wake them up, you could have spent winning other people to Christ. So we need to make sure that we as soul winners recognize that when we're out there, we want free course. We want the word of the Lord to have free course. And the way we do that is we got to drive away the birds. We got to remove all the distractions, remove the false doctrine, remove whatever comes to, you know, if they come at you and they say, well, you know, I just believe that you have to repent of your sins. Don't throw in the towel and say, okay, well, this person's hopeless, and just walk away. What are you supposed to do? Explain to them why it's not by repenting of your sins. Explain to them, you're driving away the birds. That's what we need to become good at, is driving away the birds, because of the fact that Satan will seek to do that. Now look, as Christians, we should be like Daniel, dissolving doubts. Look, when you talk to people, talk to them confidently, folks. Right. Don't be timid. Don't be afraid. You can be humble and meek, but you should have confidence in what you're saying. Okay? Why? Because we're there to give them understanding, to dissolve doubts. We're there to basically remove the hard sentences. We're there to show them the ways of the Lord and show them clearly. Outside forces that obstruct the path of receptiveness, number one, the most obvious one is the devil. Okay? But number two, it's wicked and unreasonable men who often will seek to try to obstruct the path of free course for the Word of God. Okay? It's the devil, obviously, but then you have the devil's minions, which the Bible refers to as wicked and unreasonable men. Now, go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. So this week we had the Fundamentalist Conference over in Cincinnati, Ohio. And what is it called? Is it called the Anti-Sodomite Conference or something? You know, is it the Fundamentalist Conference, a.k.a. the Anti-Sodomite Conference? Is it called the Anti-Reprobate Conference? What is it called? The Fundamentalist Conference. What are we talking about? The fundamentals of the faith. We're simply preaching the fundamentals of the Word of God. And you say, well, what do you guys do? Are you guys going to go gay bashing while you guys are out there? No. Are you guys going to preach to sodomites and preach against reprobates? That wasn't my plan. My sermon was the Fundamentalist Bible Belt. That's what I preached on. I preached against the Bible Belt at the Fundamentalist Conference. And lo and behold, half of the audience was from the Bible Belt. And we wanted to do soul winning. We wanted to preach the gospel. We wanted to see people saved. But you know what? There's unreasonable and wicked individuals that sought to just stop us and hinder us. They literally stopped us from meeting at four different venues. From Wednesday all the way up until Saturday, it was just nonstop dealing with a bunch of reprobates. That's what it was. People, they would literally make videos and say, you know, they would call the hotels and say, these people are against sodomites. You know, they're hate preachers. They have a hate message. Don't let them be there. If you do, we're going to go over there. And they're threatening the employees. They're not wearing their masks. Wicked. Unreasonable, folks. And you say, why did he do that? Because apparently he lives in Ohio. You know, he lives there about an hour away. You say, how do you know that? I'm not telling you how I know that. We just have our ways. 2 Thessalonians 3:1 says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. And who am I talking about? I'm talking about the Reason Files. This wicked reprobate who literally spent night and day shutting down our venues over in Cincinnati, Ohio. Brother Marcus and I worked 24-7. Brother Brett Stockton, 24-7, moving people, helping people to find the new venue. I mean, it was like non-stop. This guy would just not stop until we were just completely shut down. We're going to shut them down. God's not going to let them meet. Folks, we met. We had the preaching services. We saw a bunch of people saved. You failed. Amen. You failed miserably. You weakling of a reprobate. You say, why would he do that? Because he's wicked and unreasonable. That's why. He's a child of Satan. Why would you want to stop us? Right? Folks, if that person was a godly person, a righteous person who disagreed with us, wouldn't you think that that individual should just go out and soul win himself? Right? Or go hold his own conference? No, folks. I would wake up and then someone would send me a video and say, hey, he made another video. And I look at the timestamp of when he uploaded, it's like 5 hours ago. Literally like at 2 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock in the morning. He's up all night trying to stop us. He's losing sleep. So Pastor Burzins is preaching, and this guy's, I mean, he's trying hard. Pastor Burzins is preaching, and then, you know, I'm like in the back with Brother Marcos, and we're heading up the live stream. By the way, folks, let me just let you in on a little secret. A live stream is not just a switch that you just turn on, okay? I know some of you out here think that. Like, oh, isn't that, you just hit an on button and hit an off button, and there goes the live stream? No, it doesn't work like that, okay? It's not like a light switch. We get there, it took hours to set up. Hours to set up the live stream, have it working first class, because that's the way I like doing things. I want to do things with excellence, so we had that there. And Pastor Burzins is preaching, and I see two gentlemen outside of a door. You know, they have these type of glass right here where you can't really see through, but you can see that there's figures, and they're trying to, like, get in. And I thought to myself, well, maybe there's just people from the conference who are trying to come in. So I go out there, and I look around, and, you know, one's going like this, and the other one's just looking at it, and I go, hey! And they turn, look at me, and run. They ran. And I'm like, where are you going? No! No! I'm like, what in the world? So I start pursuing them. And they're just like, no, no, running. Before I even gave pursuit, they started running. Why? I'll tell you why. Because the wicked flee when no man pursueth. Right. Folks, the guy is an idiot. He could have just been like, oh, I'm sorry. I thought this was a different conference. I'm on the wrong floor. Instead, he's like, runs. You know why? Because he's scared. Yeah. Because he dreads God. He has the dread of God upon his heart. Because he's afraid of me. He's afraid of us. So just look. And then they make a video like, oh, the agents of the Reason Files had an exchange of words with Pastor Bruce Mejia. Yeah, these were the exchange of words. No! Those were the exchange of words. Bunch of cowards. He said, well, how do they find you guys? Well, this is what happened. This is how wicked these people are. Because obviously we didn't want to divulge the location because of these wicked people. So what we had them do is we sent everyone to a restaurant, and we had an individual there and say, okay, this is where the address is. You can go there. They were literally at the parking lot with cameras, taking pictures of the people, and followed them to the hotel. These people have no jobs. And by the way, the Reason Files, Todd, the guy's 53 years old. He's 53 years old. The guy sounds like just a jobless sodomite. He's a loser. And he sends his cronies, his wimp cronies, to try to, you know, infiltrate the conference. They're so scared, they literally almost pissed their pants when they saw me. In fact, I'm sure they did. Oh, I don't think you should say that about them. I just did. Amen. These people are wicked, they're vile. And by the way, they just came out with another video apologizing for doing that. What? Yeah, you know why you're apologizing? Because you failed miserably. That's why. Sucka. Because you could not stop us. You see, yeah, do that to some old IFB guy, and I guarantee you that guy will capitulate and fall down on your feet prostrate. But you know what? You do it to a new IFB guy, we live off of this stuff. This is just another day in the office for us. We still had our podcast, we still had our sermons, we still preached the word of God, and we laughed all the way through. Amen. I had a blast. And guess what? I'm preaching here today. Amen. Live stream still going on. Business as usual. You say, well, you say that they're obstructing the path. Yeah, they annoyed us a little bit, but they didn't stop us. Because people like this can hinder us. But remember, they can't stop us. They cannot stop us. So what they did was this. They sent those two guys. They took pictures. The next day, we have Pastor Joe Jones preaching. Preaches a great sermon called Quicksand Baptist. He ends up leaving. We're fellowshipping. And then, you know, an individual in that conference, like, he passes out. Okay? Which I believe it was of the Lord, to be honest with you. I'll explain to you why. Passes out. He's fine. They ended up calling the paramedics, and he was fine. The paramedics said he was fine. But I told everyone, I was like, you guys need to go soul winning. I'm going to stay here with this guy because, you know, if the managers come or something, you know, I need to be here. I'm the one in charge. So he's fine. And then everything's fine. He's eating. And then all of a sudden, the managers do come. And they're like, who's in charge here? And I'm like, I'm in charge. They're like, we need to speak to you in private. And I'm like, oh, snaps. And it begins. They pull me aside and they said, you guys can't be here anymore. I'm like, why? Well, we got reports from people and they're calling the authorities on us saying that you're here, you're not wearing your masks. And they say, and amongst other things that you say on YouTube, we saw it fit to not have you be at our venue anymore. I said, the money, you already have my money. So just honor it. Like, we can't. You need to be out of here within the hour. I was like, within the hour? I was like, you know how long it took to set up all that equipment? And you expect me to break this down in 1 hour? They're like, you got to go. You got to go. So Marcus and I were like, okay, we got to go. So I called Brett. Brett's out there sewing. I said, I need you to stop everything that you're doing and go find another venue. Because there's someone out there who wants money. Money's green. You will find someone out there who wants it. And I said, go find someone. He's like, I'm on it. 20 minutes later, he calls me. I got one. Signing the papers. At this time, we can go set up. Great. Now, the reason I say that guy fainting was of the Lord, because if he had not fainted, I would have not stayed. And if I would have not stayed and I would have gone, they would have waited till we came back for the Sunday, for the night preaching and told us that we can't be there. And at that point, man, looking for a venue with an hour to spare is very difficult. Okay? So I believe that was of God, keeping us there so we have enough time to look for another venue. And I was just thinking to myself, this is great. This guy's earning me, helping me earn rewards in heaven. Such a wicked individual that he would shut us down and bring these people. So we get there, and then Brett was like, Brother Brett said, you know, I sent a bunch of other decoy venues, you know. So this guy, the Reason Files guy, he's like calling all these other places. He's like, yeah, we got them shut down over here. It's like, sucker, we're not even over there. It's a decoy. We're sending you in a wild goose chase because you're a beast. You're the goose. And I was, if you saw the podcast, I was talking about that. I'm like, you're not going to be able to stop us. We're still going to have service no matter what. No matter what happens. He said, what were you doing, Pastor Mejia? I was making the course as clear as possible to the best of my ability. And you know what? People were blessed. We got 65 people saved in 2 days. 65 people saved. We went to an area, extremely receptive. People were getting saved. I got like 3 people saved in about an hour and 15 minutes or so. Very receptive. But you know what? There's wicked and unreasonable men. You say, so what's the solution to the wicked and unreasonable men? Just stand up to them. Just punk them. Just show them what's up. Show them that we don't back down. You don't cower to them. You don't capitulate to them. You don't surrender to them. What do? You fight back. And you tell them, you can shut me down as much as you want. This is still going to happen. You can say whatever you want, make as many videos as you want. You can say all manner of evil. You can call the police. You can call the CDC. You can call whatever. You're not going to stop me. Outside forces that hinder the word of God is this. You have the devil, and then you have the devil's minions. you know, the treason files. And I'm telling you, he just came out with a new video. Oh, we shouldn't have stopped them from their freedom of speech, and we apologize for everything. Shut up, you weakling. If we would have capitulated to you, he wouldn't have been putting that video out there. He's only doing it because he knows he lost. We have guys texting him from the conference like, you failed. You're a miserable failure. You didn't stop us. You suck. True. So when we think about the Word of God having free course, you're going to have Satan, you're going to have, you know, all these things that people believe that you have to remove. You're going to have wicked and unreasonable men. And by the way, new IFB conferences are way better than old IFB conferences. Let me just say that right now. And we have a different element. Old IFB conferences, they don't have enemies. They have zero enemies. I guarantee when they have their conferences, wicked reprobates can care less what they do. Because they're not a threat. You know why they come after us? Because we're a threat. We threaten them. They don't like us. They don't like the truth. I thought it was exciting. I loved it. We got here late. We set up here. And it's just like, I feel accomplished. Bring it on again. Inside forces that obstruct the path of receptiveness. Go with me, if you would, turn to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. So how do we defeat Satan? Well, we got to know what we're talking about. We got to make sure that we're effective soul winners. How do we defeat wicked and unreasonable men? You just plow right through them. You just step right over them. You shove them out of the way. You shove the birds out of the way. And when they fall on the ground, you just step on their stomach, and you step on their face, and you just keep going. And when they bark, you bark louder. When they threaten, you don't cower. When they come at you, you just stand right. You stand your ground. You don't move. And you fight back. Just picture this. They're like chihuahuas. You know how far a chihuahua can go if you kick one? Think about that. Forgive me if some of you have chihuahuas in here, okay? I don't know if you have chihuahuas, right? They bark a good bark. Little ankle biters, right? But think about that. They could fly pretty far if you just launch one. And that's exactly how these reprobates are. That's why the guy never shows his face. So let's talk about the inside forces that obstruct the path of receptiveness. The greatest inside force that will impede the Word of God, obviously, is our flesh. Because the Bible tells us that the carnal mind is enmity against God and is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So, you know, if you're in the flesh when you come to church, if you're in the flesh when you're reading the Bible, you're not going to get anything out of the Bible. You have to be in the Spirit because we delight in the law of God after the inward man. You understand? So we need to make sure that when we are approaching the Word of God, that we are in a state of walking in the Spirit. But think about this. You know, when you read your Bible, you need to make sure that you remove all the distractions, right? How can the Word of God have free course when you're in your personal devotional time? Well, you gotta move your phone. Turn off the TV, turn off the radio, or turn off whatever. Maybe you need to be isolated a little bit. Why? Because you want the Word of the Lord to have free course in your life. That when you're reading the Word of God, you're listening, you're ready to hear, you are understanding what you're reading, you are removing all the obstructions that will cause the Word of God not to have free course in your life. Okay? But what about when you just come to church? Folks, we need to make sure that the Word of the Lord has free course in the church. From a physical standpoint, it's just like, well, maybe you just need to get to bed early on time the day before. So you're not falling asleep during church. Maybe you need to change your diet a little bit, right? Maybe you need to take some energy pills or, you know, some B vitamins or whatever. Not Red Bull, okay? Or maybe you just need to work on your focus and your retention a little more. Some people in church, their mind just wanders. They're just like, And it typically wanders during the announcements. Because I'll announce something very clear and then someone else will, hey, so when does the fall program start, Pastor? You know, and while they're holding the bulletin in their hand, you know what I mean? We need to make sure when we come to church that we're ready to hear. Folks, treat church seriously. You need to treat church in a serious manner that you're ready to hear the preaching of God's word. Okay? Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but first and foremost, some inside forces that will obstruct the path of receptiveness in our personal lives, preconceived ideas. We know that to be true in the other people's lives, right? When we're talking about end times Bible prophecy, the Jews, and all these other things, some people just have preconceived ideas, and they cannot see what the Bible wants to teach them because they have preconceived ideas. They're already set in their ways. And therefore, they don't want to change that. Well, you're hindering the free course of the Bible in your life. You know, I know people that say, well, this is what I believe, and I'm not going to change. Why? That's weird. What if you're wrong? What if you're wrong? If you're wrong, then you should want to change. Yeah. Folks, if I have the truth, scrutinize the truth that I have, and you know what? If I find that it's wrong, then it wasn't the truth. And I'll change what I believe, and I'll believe the truth. Folks, there's so many doctrines out there, so many stances that people have in vain. Pre-tribulation rapture. Replacement theology, you know, or Zionism, should I say. What Bible version they use. We were just talking about at the conference of the people that used the Rate of Error in 1960. They literally have this preconceived idea that that's the Word of God in Spanish, even though it's been shown to them over and over again. Now, why is that? Well, because they just don't want to change. And they're like, well, you know, this is the tried and true 1960. This is the old one. This is like the King James. Folks, the 60s was not that long ago. Do you understand that? 1960 was not that long ago. That's more like a new version. Okay? But why won't pastors change on that? I'll tell you why. Because they have preconceived ideas. They're not willing to change. They're not willing to take admonishment. And therefore, the word of God will not have free course in that person's life. Go to Matthew 15. Look at verse number 1. Then came to Jesus, scribes and Pharisees, which were at Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by what? Your tradition. What is that talking about? Their preconceived beliefs and ideas. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter number 5. What will hinder the word of God from having free course in a person's life? Preconceived ideas. Things that you were taught, things that you just never questioned. We need to make sure that when we read the Bible, we're just an open slate. We're a clean slate and allow the word of God to just change whatever it needs to change in our life. Look at verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Now look, nowhere in the Old Testament does it say, hate thine enemy. But yet we see here that it hath been said of them of old, love thy neighbor, hate thine enemy. So what is that? That is a preconceived idea that who? The Pharisees gave to the Jews. And the proof of that is this. In the Talmud, the Jews teach to hate the Goyims. I mean, a lot of teaching on hating the Goyims. You know, if you can kill the goyim, you can rob from the goyim. Goyims are beasts, they're animals. Intercourse between two goyims is just animals, animalistic, just crazy stuff that they say. Why? Because they teach, hate your enemy. And who's their enemy? The goyims. Who are the goyims? Us, according to them. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute. That's what Jesus is telling. So he's telling the Jews, hey, you have heard by them of old, these Pharisees, these Sadducees, these people who adhere to the traditions of the elders, oh, you need to hate your enemies, a.k.a. the Goyims. But I'm saying to you, that's not what you should do. They have a preconceived idea that needs to change. Okay? Preconceived ideas is an inside force that will obstruct the path of receptiveness. Not only that, but how about ears that are dull of hearing? And then lastly, of course, sin. Sin will obstruct receptiveness in your life. You know, the Bible tells us, go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. The Bible tells us in Mark 4:18, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful, the Bible says. So what is the Bible telling us? You know, sometimes people don't hear the word of God. They don't listen to the word of God. Why? Because they're thinking about other things. They can't. Sometimes people, let me just say this. Let's do a little family time here, okay? Sometimes people refuse to listen to instructions and admonitions. Listen to this. Because the cares of this life are choking the word. That's what it is. And 2020 has been filled with cares. 2020 has been filled with things that have caused people to fear. And you know what? That has inserted itself into the hearts of people, individuals, yea, even in our church. To the point when we preach what the Bible literally says, we give the wisdom of God, we say what the Word of God says, they just can't hear it. They don't see it. You know why? Because the cares of this life has choked the Word. The Word of God can't have free course. It can't instill faith in that person. And let me just say this. Let me just say this since I'm on this topic. Okay? If you hate California and you don't like California, then good for you. Okay? If that's your position, so be it. But let me just say this. Don't go around telling our people in our church to have your views on that. Causing people to be discontent with where they're at and what God is doing in their life. Folks, I can care less about what's going on in California. I like the fires. It just burned millions of dollars worth of marijuana. Praise Jesus for that. Hey, it made Ben Shapiro leave. And look, if those are your views, I don't think you're a wicked person. I don't think you're a wicked individual. I don't think you're wicked or you have some sort of different agenda. But hold on a second. When you start trying to infiltrate the minds of the people and try to cause them to have your views, then I got a problem with it. Yeah. You know why? Because you're causing people in our church to be discontent. And look, if you're in here and you're discontent with California and you come and ask me, should I move? I'm going to tell you, yes. You should. I'm not going to try to fight to keep people here who don't want to be here. Because some people's minds, it's already set that they want to leave. It's already set. And you know what? You hang around with people like that long enough, you're going to be just like that. And it doesn't matter how much Bible we give you. It doesn't matter how many sermons Pastor Mejia can preach and it's truth and you cannot refute it, you're still going to do whatever you want to do. Right. Why? Because the cares of this life is choking the word out of your heart. That's what it is. Oh, you're trying to say I can't serve God anywhere else? Are you saying I can't win souls? Of course you can win souls anywhere else. I just won souls in Ohio and Kentucky. We had the conference in two different states. I won a bunch of souls, but you know what? I came back here. Amen. And again, you can have those views. This is not a place where I say you cannot have those views opposite from Pastor Mejia. What I'm saying is this. Don't go around talking trash about California trying to get people to go with you. You're so bold, you go by yourself. Right? And look, let me just make it known, as the pastor of this church, don't ask me for advice on leaving California. Okay? Don't try to get my approval to say, well, yeah, California's pretty wicked, you should go. I'm just going to say you should go because you want to go. And look, folks, and if you go, don't be double-minded. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, the Bible says. They're very unstable. And look, once you go, don't look back. Don't look back. Why? Because you should just be settled on what you do. I'm leaving, I'm going, I'm gone. Okay, leave, going, gone. Go serve God wherever you're at. But don't be this individual in our church where you're like, well, I want to stay, but I want to go. And it's so, I hate California because of all the liberalism, but I love it because of this. Just make a decision. When I go out to eat with my wife, for me, it's just like, we just pick the spot. I'm very much like, this is where I want Cane's right now. Amen. I want Wingstop. I'm not like, well, you know, just. I'm just like, this is what I want. This is what we're going to do. Don't be this individual in our church where you're just double-minded. You're flip-flopping one end to another. And don't come to me for advice, because when I give you the counsel, I already know that the Word of God does not have free course in your life. It's already evident that it doesn't. So this is what you do. If you're planning to leave California, that thou doest, do us quickly. No, I'm not calling you a Judas. I'm just saying, do it quickly. And don't come back next week with a changed mind. Well, I changed my mind. Because you know what's going to happen? The next week's going to come, you're going to change your mind again. How do you expect to lead a family like that? How do you expect to lead a wife? Men cannot be double-minded. We need to be settled. Even if we're wrong, we just need to do something and do it. And if we're wrong, we're wrong. But I'd rather be wrong than just be flip-flopping between opinions, halting between two opinions. Be not like the wave tossed about, just make a decision. And look, folks, I'm not in the state of California because I'm a Golden State boy. I'm here to win souls to Christ. I'm here because God has allowed a church to be here. I'm here because this is where my brothers and sisters in Christ are. I'm not here because one day it's going to be a red state. Care less about that. I'm not here. Oh, you know, aren't you afraid of what's going to happen? Bring it on. Folks, I am a Christian. And as a Christian, we have a different element, and it's called God. We have Goshen. It could be plagues all over Egypt, but you know what? If we're serving God, we'll be A-okay. And you know what? Let me just say this for all of you individuals out here. You have someone coming up to you trying to convince you, you need to California, you need to leave California, California sucks. You just tell that individual, then you need to get out of here and go. Because I'm planning to raise my kids here, and I want them to be bold for the Lord. Amen. And we don't need people trying to cause the hearts of the brethren to melt. That's what God did, right? With the Israeli army, he says, if you're afraid, then go. Because you're going to affect the other people and cause them to be afraid. So if you're scared, go home. Go. It's not, if you're afraid, go to church. Ice Cube. It's more like, if you're afraid, go home, because those who are bold stay here. And again, no, this isn't the epicenter of spirituality of America. California is wicked, obviously. Duh. Tell me something I don't know. But First Works Baptist Church isn't wicked. Amen. God's hand is on First Works Baptist Church. Amen. And just to let you know, when you move, you go from Babylon to Babylon. This is important, that you make sure that you remove any roadblocks in your life that will cause the word of the Lord not to have free course. And look, let me just say this. People have left our church because of what's going on in California. I love them. I don't hate people like that. Those people are still my brothers and sisters in Christ. I love them. They've always been respectful towards me, you know, and vice versa. I wish them the best. I hope they go to church out there and they prosper. And I don't want no ill upon any individual who leaves our church for those reasons, you know. Obviously, I don't agree with them, but I'm not going to say that they're wicked, that they're evil, they're dumb, because I don't believe that. Let them do whatever they got to do. But on the flip side of that, don't try to recruit people to your side. Okay? Anyways, I had to go to Hebrews 12, but we'll leave it at that. We want to make sure that at our church we have a clear path, removing all distractions, all roadblocks, all stone walls, so God's word can just do whatever it needs to do in our lives. Amen? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, I'm thankful. I'm thankful we're here for such a time as this. We are here for such a time as this. And I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord, that we would be vessels unto honor me for the master's use, that the word of God would have free course in our personal lives, but also when we go out there, that you would remove unreasonable and wicked men from our lives. And if for some reason they're there and they cannot be removed, help us just stand up to them and to discomfit them and confound them and cause them, just like the Raisin Files, to now apologize for the things that he's done, because he wants your mercy upon his life, because he knows that he's going to be judged by God for trying to stop a godly conference. I pray, God, that you'd help us, Lord. Fill us with your power and your spirit.